tell us, well, let me tell you who I am. I'm a passive income coach, and I have the Kathy Binner International Academy. So for all of you that are listening, you can just go to kathybinner.com. You see my name here in my little Hollywood square. It's Kathy with a K, and Binner is B as in boy, INNER.com. And you will find everything that I do there. And one of the things that I do is I have this free meetup where we talk about Airbnbs or short-term rentals. But we also have the six F's of real estate. We talk about how to find real estate, and it doesn't matter how you're going to use it. When we're talking about finding it, and Adam and I, we see each other all around Columbus, Ohio, because we are in that investing community. And he's going to tell you a little bit about what he does. But we are in that investing community. So we're rubbing elbows with folks that are finding these deals, and then they are funding these deals. And I talk about the six F's of real estate. So once you find it and once you fund it, then of course you have to fix it, depending on how you're going to use it. And then once you fix it, then you can decide whether you want to flip it, whether you want to just sell it and take the equity. If you've got some ready-made equity up front, you can sell it or flip it. Or you can actually fill it. Now, when you get to the filling part, that is where you have to ask yourself, how am I going to fill it? Am I going to fill it with a long-term renter, a mid-term renter, or a short-term renter? And you don't have to be stuck with one option. You can take a property, and I always say this, make sure that your numbers work for a long-term renter. So if you decide you just want to put a long-term renter in there and make it totally passive income and say, I don't want to deal with it. The only time I want to hear from this guy is if he's got a leaky faucet and I'm going to call my plumber. I don't even have to go over there. I'm going to automate all of his rent payments. I'm going to automate everything every time he has a maintenance issue. And the only thing I have to do is collect his rent and take care of his maintenance. And it makes the property almost 100% passive income. You can decide to do that. But then if you say, gee, I want to make a little bit more money, I think I want to do it as a midterm, meaning now you're going to rent it for more than 30 days, but less than a year. And you say, I want to do a midterm, maybe a traveling nurse, maybe somebody, a CEO coming in, they're relocating for their job, and now they have to find a place to buy, and they just want something totally furnished in the meantime. And so at that point, you might decide you're going to do midterm for a while. Now, if they're there for 6 months, now you have to go in now and clean that property up and make sure it's ready for somebody else, maybe every 3 months or every 6 months or every 9 months. And whereas a long-term renter, I have long-term renters that have been with me for years. So I just stay on top of the maintenance. But if they do move out, I have to go in and make sure that it's move-in ready for a new tenant. And then, of course, you can come all the way back to short-term, and that can be anything from one night to maybe you might have a two-night minimum. You might have, you know, if you're in an area like around Columbus where Adam and I are, we have the Hocking Hills area. And a lot of folks, their hotspot, and I did a little research not too long ago for short-term rentals, and their hot numbers, what really rents down there in Hocking Hills is a three or four-night minimum. That's like their sweet spot. Is that guests want to come for three or four nights. And so then, you know, you're not flipping that every night. So it depends. You know, if you want to function more like a hotel and have just one night stays, you got to get in there and clean. And cleaning a short-term rental is different than cleaning a long-term rental. When you clean a short-term rental, and we're going to kind of get into that, when you clean a short-term rental, you have to also stage it after you're done cleaning it. It has to look like it's going to be on a magazine cover.
Yeah.
Because that's what your guests are expecting. They, when they show up, they don't want it to look like, they don't want the sheets to just be clean. They want the bed to look like no one has ever sat on it after the sheets have been cleaned. So it's a little bit different. So you have to keep all of that in mind as you're going through the process. And then of course, on the six F's, the last F is freedom. How many of these deals do you have to do to have that kind of freedom? And so, Adam, I see we've got a couple more people in the participants. I'm going to jump in and make sure I still do not see Trey there.
And
but we do have a couple of comments. So Can you see
Yeah,
the chat?
let me give my little spiel about who I am
Sure.
real quick, and then we can jump
Absolutely.
into some questions because we do have a couple questions. So, my name is Adam Messmer. I'm a mortgage broker. I broker loans for investors. I specialize in loans for investors. So if you need a loan for your very first house and you're going to live in it and it's going to be your beautiful home, I am not the guy to call. That is not me. I got a bunch of buddies that I can refer you to, and feel free to reach out and I'll give you the best names to talk to. But that's not what I do. I specialize in three kinds of lending. There's hard money or rehab loans. That's short-term money. That also called mafia money, as somebody called it the other day.
Not heard that. I've got to use that in a sentence.
Mafia money, yeah. And so that's a short-term loan, typically higher interest rates, but they'll lend on anything. They'll lend on any project that has bones to it. So they'll give you money for the purchase, they'll give you money for rehab, and they'll base it all off of what is your loan to, what's your cost, what's your all-in cost, and then also what's the ARV or the after repair value. So I'll put all my information in the chat, and anybody that wants to talk about this, I can get into all the details with you. I'd be happy to have a call with you and tell you all about it. The next thing that we do is DSCR lending. Let me say that slower. DSCR lending, which is debt service coverage ratio lending. That's where we use the income and the expenses of the property to qualify the loan rather than your personal income. So people come to me sometimes and they're like, oh man, I'd love to get into investment real estate, but you know, I just started this job and you know, I don't have the time in my job to get paid, or maybe I just became a realtor because I love real estate and it's my passion, but you know, I can't qualify for a traditional loan. And that's what we would use this for. So we figure out what the rent's going to be, whether it's a short-term rental or a long-term rental. And then we base the whole deal off of that, as well as your credit. We still run your credit. But like, we don't collect tax returns. We don't collect W-2s or anything like that for a DSCR or for a hard money loan. Now the third option, we collect everything, and that's a full documentation, full underwriting commercial loan. And that's where we say, hey, you say, hey, look, I look great on paper. I make a bunch of money. I got a bunch of money and I need a bunch of money. Sweet. That's what we're going to use for a full documentation commercial. And it's a financial colonoscopy, but I'll tell you, it's some of the best rates that are, I mean, like six ish on some commercial rates, 6.5 is what
that is good. That's good.
Yeah. And a couple quick questions that we've got that I'd love to address right off the bat.
Sure,
so Brittany has a couple questions. One is, what's the best way to run numbers for a short-term rental if you have no idea where to start? And AirDNA.co is a good one. That's a good place.
That's a good one. But here's what I want to say to Brittany. Start with running your numbers for a long-term renter. Because if you're going to get a mortgage and you're going to have your principal, your interest, your taxes, your insurance, and you don't have the cash in your pocket and you're going to go out and actually get some sort of a mortgage for that property, the least amount of money that you're going to get on a buy and hold is a long-term renter. Make sure your numbers work with long-term first. Make sure they work with long-term. So if for any reason, you say, I don't want to lose this property. I just need to get it filled so that I can let somebody else buy me a piece of property, which is what renters are going to do. They're going to buy you some property. You have to be able to say, I'm okay by just putting a couple in there or a family in there or whatever, and they're going to pay rent every month. And the money that I get is going to be enough to cover all of my expenses for that property. Then you can go back and say, what if, now that I know that's my safety net, what if I decide to do it as a midterm or as a short term? And then that's where you want to start looking for the numbers for that area. What kind of a draw is in that area? Who is your audience? Who is your audience for that midterm or short term property? And make sure that you have a big enough audience and see what the competition's doing. So, it's kind of like when a realtor puts together comps, they look at a lot of different factors. They don't look at just one place. And so I agree with Adam that the AirDNA website is a great place to start. But then I also go on Airbnb and I just look and see what are other properties in my area that have my amenities. What are they charging? How full are they? Look at their calendar. How booked out are they? How are they doing? And the one I like for midterm is called Furnish Finders. And the one that I like for short term, of course, is Airbnb. So, Adam, any additional comments for that?
I would say if you're just starting out, a major thing that you're going to start to build is your network. And your network is everything. And how you do that is you find local real estate investor meetups and you go to them. And the thing that's awesome about them is everybody there wants to talk to you. No matter what you think, they 100% want to talk to you because they all realize that the way that they can expand their business is by meeting other people in the business. And you're going to find ways that you can work together that you haven't even thought of. So I would 100% say get out to a real estate meetup in your area. And if there isn't one, start one. And then you get to be like the person that's at the center of it, which is even better. And you can, I mean, it's the best. I go to like one or two a week. And I mean,
me too.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Now in Columbus, Ohio, I have heard that we have a particularly awesome investor community just because everybody's cool. Like there aren't really, I mean, there are some jerks, but for the most part, everybody is there to help each other get move forward in their investing career. But yeah, that's where I would
say. And I don't feel when I go out to these networking events, I don't feel like I'm in competition with these other folks.
No.
I feel like they're there. They want to help. And as a matter of fact, they'll even come up to me and say, Kathy, we know that you've got this group, this, you know, the meetup that we're on tonight. And then of course I have the six F's of real estate meetup and they'll say, hey, do you need any speakers? Do you need, you know, I mean, they'll offer because mm-hmm. they go, we know that, you know, you need guests and you want to bring value to your listeners. And so they'll offer to be on. So don't be afraid to start something. If you don't have something in your area, like Adam said, you can actually start something and you know, you can be the kind of the go-to person.
Absolutely.
If you have a personality for that, not everybody does. Not everybody wants to be front and center, but.
Yeah. And then Brittany had this other question. She said, can you use other people's money for the down payment on a DSCR loan? And that's a great question. And the answer is it depends on the lender, which is the answer to most of the questions about these loans. But yeah, I do have a couple lenders that will allow that. Some lenders, I have some lenders that will not check any assets at all. So they just assume that you've got the money and, you know, when it's time to wire money to buy that house, you wire the money and God willing, the creek don't rise, then it goes through and we're good. Others will have you, if it's mom or if it's like a friend or whatever, they might have you add them to your LLC as a small part, like a 1% partner or something like that. Others will require more like 20% or 25% ownership. So it just kind of varies. But generally speaking, yeah, I mean, if you've got halfway decent credit, then we can figure out a way to make that work with a lot of different lenders in a number of different ways. And speaking of LLCs, that is something that is super important. If you want to get into this space, I highly recommend setting up an LLC. And depending on what state you're in, if you're a sole member LLC, it may or may not require an operating agreement. For instance, in Ohio, you can set up a sole member LLC and it doesn't require an operating agreement. However, every single lender wants an operating agreement because they want to understand the entity that they're lending to and how it all works.
And don't feel that that's overwhelming to write an operating agreement. There's some samples online. My operating agreement is just a one-page document. It just tells the who, what, when, and where of the LLC. It's nothing super over the top crazy. And so don't be afraid of that when you create an LLC. And just know for those of you that are listening, if it's a single member LLC, you can file that on your regular federal income tax. You do not have to file a separate tax form for your LLC. you can just file it right along with your regular tax return. And did Brittany have another question there? I saw something pop up.
Yeah, she's just saying that she's rocking out. She's got an LLC. She's got a couple properties, one in Kentucky and in Indiana, both short-term looking to grow. She has an operating agreement as well and working on networking and learning now. That's awesome. Brittany, what state are you based in? Or are you in Ohio? Yeah, I mean, she's